Okay, Chevre, so we are learning the halachos of muktzah on Shabbos, and one of the issues that we spoke about way back when is that there's a distinction between kalim and muktzah proper, right? That muktzah proper, the iser, is from the time of David HaMelech, and muktzah proper means something that is useless. Gezeiras Kalim is something that came up initially in the days of Nehemiah, right? That's the way we began. And within Gezeiras Kalim, so there are three categories. There's Kli Shamlach Tzolah Eser that we spent a lot of time on, and then there is Kli Shamlach Tzolah Heter. And then there is Muktzah, Machmas Chesaron Kis, which are all categories within Gezeiras Kalim. Right? That's basically what we're up to. Last time we spoke about just rules of how you move Muktzah, etc. So let's talk about Kli Shamlach Tzolah Heter. People often don't realize that Kli Shamlach Tzolah Heter is also a form of Muktzah Haytamar.
I just had a question that we were discussing. We didn't define how much is Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis. Like, I guess when I was saying the case of the lulav over Shabbos, and someone said, like, okay, if we get a lulav for $30 from Judaica Plus, like, is that Chesaron Kis?
Yeah, so I want to talk about what Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis is. We'll get there. That begins on page 10, right? But first, I want to do page 9 before page 10. So page 9 is about Kli Shamlach Tzolah Heter before we get to page 10. Beseder? So in order to begin from page 9, you have to look at the Gemara on Daf Kufchav Gimel, which I give to you on the bottom of page 1. Right, Tanya Rabbanan b'Rishaya ha'ya omrim Shlosha kein yitam b'Shabbes Miktzah shel devela Zuam alistrin shokder v'sakin k'tana shel gabei hashochan. Initially, they felt that only three kalim were able to be moved on Shabbos, like this knife that cuts the figs and a spoon that removes the stuff from the pot and the small knife that's on the table, the table knife. Hitziru, chazaru, hitziru, chazaru, hitziru, ad sh'amru, kala ken yitom b'shabetz, chutz min meser ha'gadol v'yasin shum. Until Chazal say that you can move all kalim with the exception of a large suah, and the yasin shum is the plow, like the part of the plow that actually does the plowing. Those categories, Meser Agad, Yasin Shemach, is what we'll talk about as being Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis. So in the Gemara comments, Mahi Tiru V'Chazari Tiru. So there's a discussion between Abaye and Rava about what exactly this means. And Ella Amar Rava, Hi Tiru Davishamlachtala Heter, Bein Tzach Gufo, Bein Tzach Mekomo, V'Chazari Tiru Mechamel Tzel. Meaning, Zakhti Gemara, according to Rava, we pass like Rava not Abaye, that Keli Shamlach Tzolah Heter, you can only move Letzorech Gufo and Letzorech Mekomo. Later on, they are matter Keli Shamlach Tzolah Heter, even Mechamel Tzel, even to protect the Keli itself. The Keli is outside, and it might get ruined, so you can move it, as opposed to Klisham Lachdo Le'Isser, which is only Mutzah Letzach Gufo Letzach Mekomo, but I cannot use it, I cannot move it Mechama Letzel. Right? So I can't take my hammer if it's going to get ruined in the rain. I can't bring my hammer inside. My glasses, right, if they're outside and they might get ruined, my glasses I am allowed to move. That's what the Gemara says. Hitiru, v'chazir v'hitiru, v'chazir. Now, in this Gemara, the bottom line of the Gemara, which he spoke about, is Reb Chanina says that this happened in the days of Nehemiah. And in the days of Nehemiah, they saw that people are violating the Isurim of Shabbos, so that's why they impose all of these Isurim. That's basically the story in the Gemara. So now when we talk about Kli Shemalachta Laheter, back to page 9. One second. Right. When we go back to page 9 to Kli Shemalachta Laheter, so it's clear that you cannot just move a keli for no purpose. That's the pashtus. Alternatively, the question is that maybe you cannot move a kli shemalachta laheter to protect the keli, but just to move it for no purpose, look, maybe is permitted. Let's distinguish over here. Am I allowed to use a fidget toy on Shabbos? Right? Or am I allowed to just pick up a keli and randomly just move it? Right? Can I do that? Can I play with my cutlery on Shabbos? So in Shulchan Aruch it says, "Kli shemlachto laheter mutar l'taltol afilo eino ela l'tzarech hakli shema yishaver o yiganev avashalo l'tzarech klal." Aser l'taltala. I cannot move a kli shemalachta laheter for no purpose. I can move it if it's l'tzarech l'kli, but if it's for no purpose, I cannot move it at all. And then it says a kisvei hakodesh, you're allowed to move it shelo l'tzarech at all, etc. Meaning, kisvei hakodesh are not included in the category of. We'll use the term mukta for lack of a better term, but kisvei hakodesh are not included in the gezeira bichlal. So, am I allowed to move a keli for no purpose? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, if you have something that's malachto laheter, it's mutter mecham latzel kedei shelo yiganev, and the Beis Yosef says. That if it's shelo letzarech klal, you're not allowed to move it, but kisvei hakodesh, you can. Ve'eno muvan, hakevan shemetaltelon, vaday yesh lo ezo kavana b'zeh. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan asks Akasha. He says, you're telling me that a kli shemalachta laheter, you can't move for no purpose. Well, I don't do anything for no purpose. Right? You don't do anything for no purpose. So obviously you have some kavana. So how could they say it's aser? V'tzarech lomar kigon de eino ela misasek ba'alma ve'eino shum kavana b'toltulo ach im yesh lo tainug b'mesher metaltulo nihidim lachto le'izrlo nechshav zeh l'tzarech aguf mikom makom b'im lachto le'heter v'adei mutter. Okay, so how's the Aruch HaShulchan saying it?
There's no such thing as no
purpose.
What?
There's no such thing as no purpose. That's his kasha. So what's his answer? Right. If I'm just misasik, that's not a purpose. But if I am doing it because I have tainug, because I enjoy it, that's okay. So am I allowed to use a fidget toy? Okay. My son, my 12-year-old, like he can't concentrate on anything without fidget toys. It's like, I don't think it's so uncommon. Are you allowed to use a fidget toy? So what would emerge in the Aruch HaShulchan? L'chore, yes, right? Because it has a purpose. Or if I have some tainug, right, if I enjoy it, that's okay. But to just randomly pick something up because I'm lazy, because I'm not paying attention, right, that's going to be a problem. And Rav Soloveitchik is quoted in the Sefer Mipnini HaRav, page 80. I wrote Mahadura Kama. Basically, in the original Mipnini HaRav, he quoted large sections from the Rav just in Yiddish. And then at some point, he decided to translate the Yiddish into Hebrew. So the one they had in my office is only has the Yiddish. It's on page 80 over there. And the ones with the Hebrew, it's on some other page. Okay. So there are people who quote that if you look in the there's a Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, which is written al Seder HaMishnah Berurah, and he quotes that various Hasidic Rebbes used to always have like a spice box with them, and when they would speak, they would just like move it here and there and yonder. So l'cha'ora, that's a problem. You can't move a kli shemalachto laheter for no purpose if it's misasek. right? So that's the iser. But if I have some kavana in why I'm doing it, that's going to be okay. Now, it's a little bit funny because misasik by definition means that you're not paying attention. And like in Hilchos Shabbos, in all halacha, right? I misasik, you don't bring any sort of carbon. Shogeg, you bring a carbon. So it's hard to know what he means. My guess is he doesn't mean misasik in the sense of what we would call misasik in kachim. I think what he means by misasik is that you need to be doing it for a reason. Right? So the fidget toy I hold because it relaxes me. But if it doesn't relax me, or if I don't need it to relax me, so then it's going to be a problem. Okay, so here is part of my theory. The Aruch HaShulchan was the Rav where? No. A famous Musar town? Nevardik. The Aruch HaShulchan was the Rav in Nevardik. Now, what else do you know about Nevardik? So Nevardik was the lonely stepchild of the Musar movement. I think that's the way they say it, right? There's a whole school of Nevardik Musar where I went to high school, Yeshiva Far Rockaway. It's named Derech Eson Avram Yafin Talmud Nevardik. That's what Eson stands for. Rabbi Rav Per's great grandfather, his wife's grandfather, or something. His wife's grandfather was Rashiv in Nevardik. The Aruch HaShulchan had a complicated relationship with Musar. Initially, he brought Nevardik into town, and then he felt that when the altar and Nevardik started doing weird things, he tried to get rid of them. It was like a complicated relationship. But one of the yesodas in Nevardik Musar is that you should not do anything without Kavana Meirosh. Everything you're supposed to do is supposed to have a purpose. Like, I'm not supposed to utter a word unless there's a reason why I'm doing it. I'm not supposed to move my finger, right? Unless there's a purpose. I think if you are coming from that type of perspective, so in Klisham, you're thinking about everything that you do, and you have to judge, is there a purpose in why I'm doing this? Is there no purpose? So then Enochanami, right? Then we can understand the dinim of Klisham Lachto Laheter. How exactly, how much of a purpose does it have to be? It is very hard to know. But one thing I do know is that klishim lachdo l'heter is included in gezeiros muksa or gezeiros kalim, and you cannot move stuff on Shabbos for zero reason. So far, so good. So again, you probably have to be like a Nevardic type of Baal Musar and focus on every action that you're doing. And moving stuff that's on the table is going to be problematic. Now, what's problematic? So it's clear that Kisvei HaKodesh is okay, meaning I'm allowed to move Svarim for no reason. The Gemara says that there were three Kelim which were never included in the Gezeira. Basically, table knives were never included in the Gezeira, right? That's the way the Gemara begins. If you go back to the Rambam and his presentation of Muktzah, so the Rambam never says that these three kalim are different than other stuff. The Rambam never mentions these three kalim. The Rambam also never quotes, if you remember, the last line in this Gemara, where the Gemara says that the Isser of Tiltol is because of Hotzah. The Ravid does. So I'm not sure how this works, but it's possible to say that the Rambam, Me'ezah Sibah Shehi, is not quoting the entire Gemara in the sense of the Rambam holds that there's an Isser of Kalim. But he doesn't give you the leniencies in the Gemara that, about these kelim that are on the table. Right? The Mishnah Berurah notes this in Sifkatan Chaf Gimel, the bottom of page 9. Who adin kosos ka'arus utzlochios is second shal gabei hashulchan, which are tadir b'tashmish, lo chala alayu toras mukta klal, and they're like ochla and kisvei hakodesh damu, and therefore you can move them shalol tzorach, meaning you can use your fork. At all. If you want to just fidget, right? And you don't need it to concentrate. You only just fidget stamasoi to be misasik. So you're allowed to use your fork, according to the first opinion. Vigesh machmirim afilo bikelim elo. That's the Rambam. The Rambam never quotes the kula of these kelim. So I'm not sure how this works out. And in Lomdis, I don't know if this works out. But l'cha'ora, the Rambam denies, or the Rambam is not quoting the full version of the Gemara. Rambam never quotes this idea of total tzarech chutzah, and the Rambam also never quotes the carve out for these kelim. Why in Lomdis these ideas might be connected, I'm not 1,000,000% sure, but I think these are just the facts on the ground. So far, so good. So Kisvei HaKodesh are Heter Gomer, no? I'm allowed to move stuff which are Kisvei HaKodesh. They were never included in Gezeiras Kelim. Ochlim is never included in Gezeiras Kelim. I'm allowed to move food for no purpose. I'm allowed to move my Kisvei HaKodesh for no purpose. So I think the idea is that there was never a Gezeira. I think this is Kisvei HaKodesh also. It's not written on the scroll by a sofer. It's a book. It's a holy book. I think that's the way we'll understand Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, the question is, how far do you go with this? Purim is coming up. Here. By the way, the Rambam that I referenced, I give you on the top of page 10. That klishim lato laheter, you're allowed to move it. Bishvo atzmo, shel kli bein letzarach makom bein tzarach gufo, v'chol klishim lato laiser, etc. So the Rambam doesn't have that carve out at all about the what's it called, about those three kelim. So Kisvei HaKodesh, can I move my Megillah on Purim? Right. Let's say you're in. This year we had a Purim Katan Meshulash, no? But I think next year is going to be that odd year that you have Erev Pesach Shechal Yosef Shabbos, and it ends up being the year of Purim Meshulash, which is that Yud Dalet Adar falls out on Shabbos, right? So when Yud Dalet Adar falls out on Shabbos, so in Yerushalayim they lay the Megillah on Tesvav, like they always do. Right, so, well, again, we don't lay the Megillah on Tesvav. We don't lay the Megillah on Yud Dalet because it's on Shabbos, and the Gemara writes on Daf Dalet and Megillah that you might carry it. So when you have that situation that you might carry the Megillah, and therefore we don't lay the Megillah on Shabbos, is the Megillah then Muktzah? So this is a discussion that the Mishnah Berurah has on the bottom of page 9. The Pri Chodesh says you're not allowed to move the Megillah on Shabbos since you don't lay it. Right? This is in Hilchos Purim in Tafresh Peches. So the story over here is that on the one hand, the Megillah is Kisvei HaKodesh. So Kisvei HaKodesh should not be subject to any Iser Alt Kalim. Right? It's not including Gezeiras Kalim, but perhaps there's a separate Gezeira that since I'm not allowed to lean this on Shabbos, maybe I'm also not allowed to move it. Maybe I'm also not allowed to move
A
it.
related question.
Yes.
Like, is what you're saying now, would that be true for like flour or some inedible food?
Okay, so inedible food is not considered ochlim for these purposes. In
Okay.
fact, so much so that a raw piece of meat we assume is going to be treated almost like mutzamach mas gufo, a treif thing. Right? When we say that begadim are not included in the dinim of muktzah, that doesn't mean a beged shoshatnez. A beged shoshatnez is an usser beged, so therefore it is definitely muktzah. So he quotes that this machlokes between the Pri Chodesh and everyone else about when Purim is on Shabbos, that's when there's a question. But if Purim is not on Shabbos, so for sure you're allowed to move your Megillas Esther because it is considered Kisvei HaKodesh. The reason why it'd be Aser is because maybe moving it is included in the Gezeira of not laning because you might come to carry, etc. That's basically what we want to say about Klisham Lachdola Heter. So the category of Klisham Lachdola Heter is ostensibly things which are not considered Klishim Lachdo Le'Isser, but they are Kalim. Here, let me give you some, 1 second. And so again, so the discussion as to whether it applies to begadim as well, whether begadim are like ochlim and there's a carve out for them, is a discussion that he has. I think everybody assumes that something which is shimushal tadir was never included in the Gezeira of Kalim at all. And that's the Pshat. Again, everyone, for some reason, the Rambam doesn't quote this. The Rambam doesn't quote the idea that, like, the little knife on the table is mutter. But if you assume that the little knife on the table is mutter, what that means is anything that's Tashmisho Tadir is going to be okay. So if that's the case, you can move your glasses, etc. Now, we mentioned that the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Soloveitchik, they say that you can't just pick stuff up derech misasig. Says the Aruch HaShabbos, page 41, Kasavli Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Legabei mikra she'adam ragil l'taltel chafotzim machmas shi'amum, ki misasig ba'alma, l'lo tzorech klal, ach im yoru lo she'adavar aser, kashalom ma'od, lihimana me'rov hergelo. Right? In other words, it's hard for you to not do it because you're used to just moving stuff. So hachazon ish ho reb hazeh dechashiv letzorech and it's mutter. Right? That's exactly the opposite of what Rav Soloveitchik and what the Aruch HaShulchan say. He quotes that Reb Nissen Karelitz in one of his firms says that the Chassam Sofer would all week not touch items because he was worried that on Shabbos he would end up moving a Klisham Lachdola Heter. In other words, if you get in the habit of only moving things like when you really have kavana for a purpose, you mamish become right like a Baal Musar to the full extent. So the Chassam Sofer, again, at least what it says here in the Aruch HaShabbos, the Chassam Sofer would not move things all week long because of the fear that he'd end up moving things on Shabbos. So far, so good. That's the discussion of Klisham Lachdo Lachdo Heter. Next, Muksa Machmas Chasarin Kis. Gemara, the Mishnah says that Meser Hagado and Yosei Shomecha, we spoke about that, these are on Muksa Machmas Chasarin Kis. Yosei Shomecha is a kli gadol that's made like a knife. It's basically a suah. And these are things that it's kapet alayhu, umiyachid lamakom, delo chazilam lachacheres. That's the lashon in the Gemara that Rashi quotes. That muksa machmas chasarin kis means I am kapet alayhu, I care about the item, meaning I won't use it for any other purpose. And I am miyachid laduchta, I have a specific makom where I keep it. What about if you have only one but not the other? For example, a cell phone, right? Now we're going to speak about how muksa machmas chasarin kis does not have to be because it's very expensive, but my cell phone, I would probably not use to bang open a nail, to bang in a nail to crack open a nut, right? You probably would not use your cell phone for anything else besides the cell phone use. The fact that I might use it for a paperweight, I don't know if that really is sufficient because I think in our world, we don't use paperweights very often. Or if we do, like, we're not going to take our cell phones and use it as a paperweight. I think it's unlikely. I would argue that the cell phone falls into this category that it's something that's kapan alayhu, but it's not miyachad l'dochta. I don't have a specific place at home. If I'm a mohel, so I have a specific case where I keep my mila knife in. If you're a shochet, you have a case where you keep your shechita knife in. That's miyachad l'dochta. So what's the din of something that's kapan alayhu and not miyachad l'dochta? Or let's say it's miyachad l'dochta, but it's not kapan alayhu. Right? In other words, I have a specific place where I always keep this thing, but I don't care about it that much. You see that picture on the wall? Right? Does it have a set place? Yeah. Right? It's miyachad l'dochta. You think anyone is kapan alayhu? You think anyone would not? Again, I don't know what you could do with that picture, but does anyone really care that they wouldn't do something with it? Probably not. Right? It's just junk. Right? Again, it's a very beautiful picture, I understand, but like, it's not anything. So, what's interesting to note is look at the way Shulchan Aruch phrases the dinim of Muktzeh Machmas Chesaron Kis. Look at the Mechaber. There's something striking about the Mechaber. So what does the Mechaber say? What does he not say?
He leaves out that they need to have a special place.
Nachon. Hey, the Mechaber just says, kapitalai, I won't use it, but he doesn't say, miyachad l'dochta. So what does this mean exactly? In the Orchel Shabbos, he speaks about this issue, and he understands that miyachad l'dochta isn't really a requirement. Miyachad l'dochta is just a way of saying that I have a special place for it, and that is megala, that shows that it's really something that I care about. That's the way he understands it. If this is the pshat, so then if I have something which is miyachad l'dochta, but it's not kapitalayhu, right? For example, let's say I have a picture on my wall. Now, there are different types of pictures on my wall. There's a picture on the wall that might be an artistic picture that I would for sure not use for any other purpose. And then there's a picture on the wall that like that thing, right? It's not like such a chashuv thing that if I have like a work of art, I'm never going to use it for any other purpose. Or when I take the picture off the wall, I'll put it carefully in the corner, etc. Am I allowed to move my picture on Shabbos when it, sometimes pictures get like a little bit, certain people are like obsessed with this, that like the picture has to be exactly straight. And if it's like a little bit curved, different people are obsessed with different things. Some people are obsessed with like dirt on a kitchen floor. Other people are upset with what obsessed with, like that their pictures have to be perfectly straight.
Would that be a mock of a pocket issue if you were like straightening a picture?
So I don't think, again, I'm not mock of a patch means I'm making a Kaylee and then I finish the Kaylee that I'm making. Over here, I have a picture. The picture's on the wall, it's just not straight. Am I allowed to straighten the picture out? So they quote from the Chazon Ish that something which is just miyachid l'duchta, something that just has a specific place, is also going to be called muksa machmas pesarinkis, because he's understanding that the either definition is the real definition. And in the Sefer Archos Shabbos, he takes this idea seriously, but he says, well, maybe moving something a tiny amount is not called moving it. Right? He writes on page 50, if you have a picture that sometimes it gets like crooked because people bump into it, maybe you're allowed to straighten it out because the din of muksa machmas chesaron kis, and let's go slowly, moving something a tiny bit is also an iser of total muksa on Shabbos. Blowing is not total muksa, but if I move it even 1 inch, it is total muksa. But maybe the yesod muksa machmas chesaron kis is that this item is withheld from use. This item won't be used for any other purpose. When I have my picture on the wall, it's withheld from use in the sense of I'm not going to use my picture for any other thing, but it's not withheld from the use of just like straightening my picture out. So he wants to argue that these tiny bits of movement, even if you accept the Chazon Ish, that a picture on the wall is miyachad l'duchta, and consequently it becomes an iser muktzah. Or certainly if I have a very choshev picture on the wall, which is kapitalayu and miyachad l'duchta, but he argues, page 15, the Archos Shabbos, that no one withheld usage or no one is designating that this thing cannot be moved for a tiny amount of movement. And therefore, he has one of the biggest coolness in Judaism. He wants to say that if I have sukkah decorations, and sukkah decorations, the assumption is that it's like a muktzah machmas mitzvah, right? Because they are there to enhance the sukkah. There are two dinim of sukkah decorations. One is that it's hiddur mitzvah in general. The other is that teshu ken tadiru means if I want to make it like my house, so in my house I have, it looks nice. So obviously I have gourds hanging up in my living room at home because like they're just beautiful. But he maintains that it could be that no one has ever withheld the usage. Again, we developed this yesod when we spoke about the Prima Godim, that muksa machmas chesaron kis might be usher to move even with tiltum and hatzat. Right? Unlike other types of muksa that have no purpose, muksa machmas chesaron kis, you're withholding its usage, but I'm not withholding its usage in terms of moving it for like those 3 inches, moving the picture on the wall for those 3 inches. So maybe it's going to be permitted. That's what he argues. He says maybe you can't compare this to all forms of muktzah, but just the pictures on the wall, the yesod is that no one ever withheld their usage for that 1 inch of movement. That's his argument. Okay. Now, usually we assume that to be muktzah machmas kis, though, I have two reasons to argue on this Chazon Ish. Right? One is that the Chazon Ish seems to be assuming that koveya lo makom itself creates a din of muktzah machmas kis. The other reason to argue is that muktzah machmas kis might be an extension of klisham lachdol iser. If I have a klishim lachdol iser, like a shchita knife, like a mila knife, again, a mila knife might not be klishim lachdol iser because mila is mutar on Shabbos, but a shchita knife is a klishim lachdol iser. at my son's bris, I spoke about moving Mila knives on Shabbos. This is like I spoke about my son's bris, and I said a svara that maybe those who say that the Yizamo Shel Mila, I made a lishitaso, that those who assume that the Yizamo Shel Mila is mukta hold that Mila on Shabbos is dechuya, not chutra. It's like a Ramban lishitaso. That was the way I said it. So when I finished this little talk, whatever sort of Shechter came over to me, he's like, yeah, he heard that the Rosh Yeshiva Americas once was trying to convince him that guns are klishim la'atola heter, because the purpose of the gun in Israel is to kill the terrorists. So therefore, it's like a klishim lachdo laheter, not a klishim lachdo laiser. Again, I can use a gun for heter. I can use it for heter. For iser, what is the purpose? I can use my Mila knife also to do a Mila shelo bizmano, which is aser on Shabbos. But if it's, right, if I use the Mila knife, that's what Rav Schechter felt like emerged from my Dvar Torah. He actually liked what I said, which was like, that was good. But ordinarily, Muksa Machmas Kesarin Kids is an outgrowth, or it's super duper Klisha Matala Isser. If I have a Klisha Matala Isser that I won't use for anything else, that's Muksa Machmas Kesarin Kids. There is another case, though, of Muksa Machmas Kesarin Kids where it's like super Muksa Machmas Kesarin Kids, and even though it's not a Klisha Malachdola Isser at all. Meaning, right? If you look at the end of the Ramah here in Siman Shin Ches, and the source that I give you, I underline these lines in the Ramah: Hu adin kelim ham yuchadim l'schora, umakbid aleihem, is also muksa machmas chesaron kes. If I have a business out of my basement that I sell men's suits, I know there are places like this, no? Or you have like a business out of your basement. So you're not going to use those things for any purpose. You won't use them at all. So that might be Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis, or the Ramah passing so that is Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis, because it is withheld from use. So the requirement that it has to be initially a Klisha Melachdo Le'Isser and a super klisha matalissa that you won't use at all is not true completely, because I have this idea that if I have a store, my things become muktzah machmas kesarin kis, the items that I might sell. Now, is this true only by begadim? Remember, we know that ochlim is not muktzah at all. Kisvei HaKodesh and Ochlim are not muktzah at all. Begadim, we had a shayla, whether they are considered muktzah at all. The Mishnah Brura in on page 9. But 1 second, where did he say that? We saw a line in the Mishnah Brura where he said that not only Ochlin, but even Begadim is also not including Gezeres Kalim. But if I have a store in my basement and I sell suits, so l'chaora that is mukta. Let's say I have a store in my basement and I sell food. So is it really withheld from use? If I'm at my Shabbos meal and I sell out of my basement, I sell like candy. No? I run Ol Nuts in my basement. If I were to run Ol Nuts in my basement, by the way, I would probably not be teaching because I'd be earning much more money. Well, actually, I would teach because I actually like it. But you sell like these candy platters. If you don't have dessert, for whatever the reason, would you go down to your basement store and take a candy platter? Mistama, you would. The reason why the clay schora is considered muksa machmas pesarin kis is because they are withheld from usage. And therefore, since it's withheld from usage, so therefore it's considered muksa machmas pesarin kis entirely. Let's say, for example, though, I buy something from a store and it's defective, so I'm going to return it. That probably is muktzeh machzeh chasaron kis, because you're very careful, you're very makbid, no one else should use it at all. My passport is probably muktzeh machzeh chasaron kis, no? I'm very makbid not to use my passport for any other purpose, right? I'm not gonna, and I'm, that certainly is something, again, it's not a klisha machdola iser, right? My passport, but it is something that I'm koveya makom on it, and I would not use it for any other things. So when it comes to if I own a store, it really depends whether I would use the items at all. A sefer Torah that's puzzled. Is that muktzeh machzeh chasaron kis? Kis v'hakodesh can't be. Well, a puzzle sefer Torah. So here's the thing: do we ever move puzzle sefer Torah? Here's machomra. We just answered some kis Torah, right? Because puzzle sefer Torah l'cha'ora have no purpose. It's usher to use them. The Gemara says that if I have a sefer she'enu muga, I'm usher l'hachziko. I can't keep a sefer she'enu muga in my house. Remember years ago, Rav Aaron Kahn gave a Musar Shmuz in the Beis Medrash, where he spoke about how people say that you could get some positive things out of television or whatever. But says Rav Aaron Kahn, no, there's also some negative things on, this is like when people before computers or before they were popular, people could also get negative stuff. And the din of sefer she'enu muga is the fact that you could possibly get something wrong, even though 99% of the letters in the Sefer Torah are correct. But this one letter is wrong, and I might learn something incorrect because this one letter is wrong. So Sefer She'enu Muga, it's also a hachziko. For some reason, the minhag developed that people move their Pasul Sefer Torah on Shabbos. Right? One could argue that it should be usser because it's muktzeh machmas chasaron kis. I wouldn't do anything else with it. The kula of kisvei hakodesh doesn't apply to something that doesn't really count as kisvei hakodesh. I don't understand the footnote in the Orchos Shabbos on page 52. He quotes it, Rebbe Yoshev said that the Pasul Sifrei Torah is not muktzeh because you're allowed to learn from it. That's not true. I'm not allowed to learn from a Sefer She'enu Muga. I don't fully understand what he's saying. Okay. Again, so maybe I have like one or two more points to make about muktzeh machmas chasaron kis that we'll talk about on Thursday, for those of us who are here. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay. So I think.